And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is not Linda Sims, but this is the chat. Linda will be with you in about 10 minutes, and the mayor will be on before the hour's up today. And we've got three great guests to start off the program today. We've got Steve Chafin, Ted Coulter, and Ayers Ratliff with us because it is our big Super Tuesday here in Ohio, as today people are going to the polls, even as we speak, to cast their primary ballot for President of the United States. And it's an interesting day, and I'm going to start over here with Ayers. Ayers, who do you see as the likely winner on the Democratic side today? Last poll I showed still showed Hillary 20 points ahead, but in Michigan, didn't end up that way.
Yeah, no, Michigan was a big, turnaround upset there at the very end, but I don't see Ohio going with somebody as far left as what Bernie Sanders is. I think Ohio is more of a centrist state. Michigan is definitely to the left of Ohio, and I look for Ohio to stay more in the center with a Hillary Clinton over a Bernie Sanders.
On the Republican side, it was deadlock last night. Our Governor John Kasich and Donald Trump, who's going to pull it out in the end?
Obviously I pulled a Democrat ballot. I have zero say of who's going to win on the other side. So, when the votes come in.
Do you have an opinion?
Obviously John Kasich has carried Ohio twice. However, he has yet to win any other state. So it's really a toss-up. If I had to place my money, I would probably bet it on Trump because he's won. He has the momentum going into it. But, would I be surprised if Kasich won? Absolutely. I wouldn't at all.
I heard high voter turnout favored Trump. Whatever these polls mean, but that was my understanding.
I would assume high voter turnout would favor both Trump and Sanders, because they would be pulling in the newer people. Your Kasichs and your Clintons would be more establishment of people who vote, every single time. I think high voter turnout would probably favor the fringes.
It's not usually 65 degrees on March 15th in Ohio, so I think that favors high voter turnout. Ted, Democrat, yourself, on the Democratic side, who's going to pull it out? Steve. I was looking at Steve, and I said Ted. Steve. That's a correction. Steve,
let's
Democrat.
Let's pick Ted up off the floor.
Yeah, I know. Well, we don't want Ted to have a heart attack. Democrat. I don't know. Michigan was a surprise, even though Hillary's ahead. What do you think?
I think Bernie himself. I got an email last night from Bernie's people. They themselves realized they're not going to win in Ohio.
But they said that in the call.
Yes, they said
in the email.
In the email. So
really,
yeah, they know they didn't get the kind of support at the grassroots level they were looking for. I was in contact with both campaigns for the past couple months, and they just didn't have the organization on the ground they were trying to build. So. The Hillary people are much more sophisticated. Like I talked to, they were in town over the weekend, and you saw how organized they are. They've got all the establishment working for them. So Hillary will win it easily.
And obviously you did not vote on the Republican primary ticket, but who do you think is going to pull it out?
And even Trump said last night, or his people said last night, they expect to lose Ohio. So Kasich will probably win. That's what I'm saying. There is a high voter turnout. I agree with both you and Ayers that it could favor these two. However, you saw Trump start to run commercials last week or so. That was a sign he knew he was not doing well. And also, there's been a lot of establishment money coming in to support Kasich. And even Rubio said, let's vote for Kasich because they need to stop Trump. So
Kasich's got a 70% approval rating last time I saw in Ohio, which is very, very good. Now we'll get to Ted, Republican Ted, who's here 2-1 today, but we appreciate him for coming in. Ted, we'll start with the Republicans on your end. You casted a Republican ballot today, I assume. Who do you think is going to pull it out? You had four choices.
Well, that's true in that regard. I believe that Kasich will probably take the state in all due respect. I've heard indications from people that are Democrats that are planning to vote for Kasich. I got an indication of people that are Cruz supporters who are going to vote for Kasich to stop Trump in that regard. But it's kind of interesting. It really reflects many of the divisions within the Republican Party and the three base. Maybe we'll get into discussion here later on things.
If Kasich does happen to lose, does he need to get out?
Definitely.
Definitely, really.
Without question.
Without question.
He said that himself. He would probably get out.
If Rubio loses in Florida, does he have to get out?
Definitely. If we're going to have a united party and we're going to have a chance to proceed with this matter, yes.
Is it kind of a foregone conclusion? Anything can happen. But even if Kasich wins, because the narrative in the media has been, if Rubio and Kasich win their respective states, it could be a contested convention. What happens if, as you said, Kasich wins Ohio, Rubio does not win Florida? Is that still the narrative? Because Florida has more electoral votes than Ohio does, and if Trump picks up North Carolina and Florida and Illinois, really, where do we go?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a narrative that just the media has in that fashion, in that regard. Because when you look at the numbers, I don't see how Kasich or Rubio could ever come through with the nomination. And there's a difference between a brokered convention and a contested, you know, convention in all due respect. Contested in the sense that you have two candidates battling against each other. Brokered, of course, you know, the establishment or others bringing somebody in to agree upon, like, you know, like the Harding situation.
But they do not want. There is a faction, I guess I should say, that does not want Trump. So if it's my understanding, too, that it would be a contested convention more likely than a brokered convention.
At this stage.
At this
stage.
We'll know more after tonight.
Yes.
So if that happens, I don't know. How does the Republican Party tell the guy who got the most votes, you're not going to be the guy?
It's going to be very difficult. It goes back to the whole issue of when we have these winner-take-all and people are disenfranchised and things. It could be a major revolution, so to speak, within the party and further fracture the party, which then goes back to divisions within the party.
God bless him. He is our governor and very popular governor, 70% approval rating. But even going into tonight, he has to know the math that he cannot win this nomination unless he goes all the way to the convention and there is some kind of contested or brokered or however they want to do it convention, because I don't think Cruz is going anywhere. You know, has it been good for him to stay in as long as he stayed in?
Well, he's been called by national media the spoiler, so to speak. But it's kind of interesting when Romney comes in and supports, you know, Mr. Kasich or Governor Kasich in that regard. What is really happening behind the scenes in that regard? They're staging it for possibly for him.
Why wouldn't he endorse him, though? They were talking about that last night. It was awful strange. I've never seen somebody do campaigning for a candidate and not endorse the candidate.
And we had that in various situations. Well, Nikki Haley and some of the other people would go out there and say they are not until the last minute and then say who they're for. I think they're all hedging their bets in all due respect.
But didn't Nikki Haley, didn't she hold off on her endorsement between Bush and Rubio? And when she finally endorsed Rubio, then she did the campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
Romney was out there holding rallies last night for Kasich, and yet he has not endorsed him.
Unless he's trying to hold to his speech that he gave here recently. What was that, CPAC or whatever it was, saying that we all have to support the others other than, you know, Trump. So maybe that's what he's trying to be consistent on intellectually.
Sorry to throw more toward the Republican side. It's just really more interesting at this point. And if you look at the television ratings, 12 million people watched the Republican debate last week, and the two Democratic debates were watched by 6 million apiece. Mm-hmm. Half the audience. It's fascinating. What is that, a Donald Trump factor, or is that a Republican factor?
Well, I think it's a Donald Trump factor. I think it also is the base of the Republican Party, the insurgency base, coming alive. We're in past it in. You know, in 2012, evangelicals really took a step back and didn't get involved. And I see signs that they're clearly involved in there. They're becoming closer and watching what's happening.
I'm going to throw the same question at you as a good Republican that I threw at Mary Taylor last week. If Trump is the nominee, is that the guy you vote for?
That would probably be with reservations, but yes, compared to who would be on the other side.
You know, it's interesting, and God bless you for being honest, but that's kind of what people say, that he, you know, he's not, what do you want to call it? He's not the optimal choice. Is it because he can't win in November, or he doesn't represent Republican beliefs?
I think it isn't. Well, it depends on which factor you're going. For the establishment factor, they want a winner. They want to have the individual that can help them, you know, be involved in the favors which they enjoy being involved in government. But you have your base, which bases on principle, and then they're having a major problem with them.
Ayers and Ted, the other thing that's going on the Democratic side is that Bernie says, irregardless of what happens, he's going to the convention. Is that good or bad? And do you think that will happen?
I don't know if it'll happen or not. I mean, that's completely up to him, but I think that it's indifferent. I think she will have the delegates needed, you know, unlike possibilities on the other side, whether he takes it all the way or not. She, you know, there will not be any, you know, any shenanigans or any even possibility of one at the convention, because she will have the delegates needed to win.
Yeah, but Steve, he has started to run negative ads against her. And if this goes on through June instead of through March, not so good.
Well, he'll be at the convention. We always have our candidates at the convention. They all get up and hold hands and in unity, so that'll happen. I don't know what will happen after today. I think he might back off a little bit. He's got quite a bit of money, though, and his supporters are loyal. So I'm not too concerned about it. You know, they take shots at Hillary all the time, whether it's from Bernie or from whoever else in this field. We'll be okay by the fall.
He has really changed her narrative, I think. I don't think this is the Hillary Clinton that started running last summer. Do you?
He's sharpened her narrative. Obama did the same thing in the last time. It always happens. And it's good for the process to have give and take. So, yeah, she's had to become more focused, which will help her. So this primary has actually helped us for the fall.
Before I turn this over to Linda, I want to come to Ayers, because we talked about this before, and you just give me a little 3-minute sketch of what happened last night in City Council. The discussion has been on the water of Marion. We had City Councilman Josh Daniels on, did an hour program stating his concerns with the water of Marion. People have listened to that. Last night at City Council, there was a vote. The original proposal was for $5,000 to test the water and give education, as I understand it, on water safety. A vote came down last night to go from 5,000 to 1,000. That passed unanimously, 9-0. And then when it came to vote on the actual passage of the $1,000, that failed. And you were one who voted against that. What has been going on, and what is the situation with the water in Marion in a tin-type fashion?
Sure. I think that it came out last night that the testing is not needed. Our water is good. Our water is fine. Our water is tested per EPA standards, and then the city even has it a step further and tested again at the wastewater treatment plant. So it's tested twice already. There's no need to spend public dollars to test it a third time when not one test that's ever came out on our water has any level that is even close to any actionable level at all. And, you know, we can spend $1,000 somewhere else doing good for the city instead of triple testing something that doesn't need to be done.
When was the last test done?
I can't give you the actual date. That would be more to Aqua into the wastewater treatment plant. But there are 30 tests done every year for Aqua, and then our wastewater treatment plant tested also. And so there's been, since that this thing started, I know that there were 30 tests done. I know there was a council person who has done 20 of his own tests on top of that. Again, everything came back good. There is no problem at all. And I think that it was good last night. I know that there were a council person on Facebook asking people to come to the meeting, and nobody did. And in fact, the majority of people who got up in support of the water company and said, we need to support our business, our water company's good. And if you look around the country at anybody that's had water problems, it has been government-owned water companies that didn't have the resources, that didn't have the education, that didn't have the background that some of your very large water companies have that, really know what they're doing. And we're fortunate here in Marion to have a water company that's really good, really responsible, and really knows how to keep the water safe.
Two-part question here, and then I'm going to turn it over to Linda. Two-part question is, for people listening who just want to feel safe about their water, who have heard the other councilmen come on and this station and make the assertions and also go on Facebook and ask people to come, what is it you can say? I understand the testing, but what is it you can say that's going to make them feel safe about their water? And it just in your broad opinion, why do this? Why bring it up?
I don't know. I didn't bring it up. And when it came right out, there was no actual basis or reasoning for it to be brought up other than what happened in Flint, Michigan, and some, you know, in some other parts, one in California, and also some here in Ohio. But, you know, and something that I said last night, it costs $10 to have your water tested. It's tested here locally at a place called Alloway. You've always had the right to have your water tested. You had the right to have your water tested yesterday. You have the right to have your water tested today. You have the right to have your water tested tomorrow. If you feel uneasy about the water, I would encourage you to contact Alloway and spend $10 and have your own water tested. I said, you know, last night, there's over 30,000 people that live in the city of Marion. I don't think it's fair that we would pick a select 100 and have the taxpayers pay for theirs and leave the other people out. You know, what happens if 3,000 people come and all want their water tested? We don't have the resources to do all that. And so, you know, I don't think that we should play favorites with the citizenry.
And now I'm going to turn this program over to Linda Sims.
Well, welcome everyone to the chat. Scott has moved, and I'm back in command. So how is everyone doing today?
Doing very well.
Well, it's good to see each and every one of you. And don't forget, listeners, it is Super Tuesday. So please get out and vote. Let your voices be heard. Maybe there's not a candidate that you don't like, but you have to choose somebody. You have the right to vote. So please do not miss that opportunity, because as we know, they are trying to take away our rights as it is, as far as voting. And I wanted to talk to some of you about that, about the poll changing and the ballot. They say that was supposed to have been not a new ballot. That was going to be confusing to people. I don't know if that's on the Republican side or Democratic side. I'll take anyone who wants to raise their hand first.
I'm not sure what you mean. Just some of the changes at the Board of Elections we made? I can talk
on the
about
ballot.
That.
On
well,
the ballot.
There's really nothing changed on the ballot. The only couple of issues that I'm aware of is we at the Board of Elections decided to go to the electronic poll books.
Okay.
As opposed to the paper ballots. And that's caused some difficulty this morning when we opened the polls. But we're working those bugs out. Things are going smoothly. People are voting pretty good numbers. So I encourage people to go to the polls. We did reduce the number of places where you could vote over the last year or so. But that's to consolidate, make us more efficient. It's working out fine. The other good thing you're going to find out when you go to a vote today, you don't have to go to a precinct table. In the old days, you had to find your precinct and go to that table.
Right.
You don't have to do that. You walk into your polling location. As long as you have the correct polling location, you can go to any table to get your card and go to any machine. So it's going to increase the efficiency as long as you have the correct polling location. So if you're confused about what polling location to go to the one you think you're supposed to go to and ask one of the information tables if this is you're at the correct polling location. They'll send you to the correct one so that your vote will count.
Okay, because I did receive my change where I should go vote last year sometime, I think. And I hope everyone else has received theirs too. I just... talking to different people, mm-hmm. and someone said that on the Republican ballot, the candidate's name to run for president was on there numerous times, and they said at least punch it every time. And I'm thinking,
no,
I didn't hear.
I don't think that's possible.
I voted early, so
we checked those ballots to make sure, both in the machines and if you got a paper ballot by the mail. So if something like that has happened, please let us know. But I can't imagine that has happened.
I had heard on the radio that it's on there twice. That they were on there, that it was something about who to vote for, and then on there again as far as voting for delegates.
They may do their delegate selection a little different from the Democrats, so it may have been, and Ted can maybe speak about the delegate selection process better than I can.
Well, I mean, yeah, you vote for your candidate, and then on the Republican side, then you vote for the delegate in that regard on the matter. It's just the same delegate for Cruz if you're voting for him, or delegate for Casey, it's just such. So I thought it was pretty straightforward the way it was laid out for Ohio ones today.
I hope so. People have any little change or anything different, people want to talk about that. But it's good to see you, Mr. Coulter.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Linda.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Yes, ma'am.
So how have things been going with you?
Oh, fine.
Are you running for any office or anything?
No.
We tried to get Ted to run for judge last year, and he wouldn't do it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you are an attorney?
Yes, I am, here in Marion, Ohio, yes.
Okay, so it's good to see you, and this is my first time meeting you, Ayers.
Yes.
I went to school with your uncle, J.C.?
Yep, J.C. is my uncle, and I'll tell you, I had a really good morning today. I volunteered at the Marion City Schools, and I volunteered in their preschool program, and we did Election Day activities there. Now, we used paper ballots,
okay.
But they voted today. You know, we had a whole discussion on what, you know, voting means, and I was really surprised that in the whole group of 4 and 5 year olds that they knew who that our president was. They knew that they named both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Wow. As that they knew, you know, who was actually running for president. They didn't name anybody else, but, you know, I mean, those are the two names you see on the news, you know, most often. But, you know, they voted today on what snack that they're going to have tomorrow, what game that they're going to play tomorrow, what, you know, book that they're going to have. But it's a really good activity to get kids involved at a younger age, that they, you know, and we, you know, counted the ballots together, and they, you know, and they just understand the voting process. And I think it was a really good program that the, you know, city schools are getting people involved and getting kids involved at a very early age, that shows them the importance of actually casting your vote.
I've also heard that they are pretty good at electing the president. So who won?
No, we did not vote for that.
Oh,
we,
you
know, right? No, we only voted for things that, you know, really mattered to the actual, you know, four and five year old.
All right, and I kind of miss what Steve said earlier about Bernie Sanders, about what you had heard from their campaign office.
You missed it?
Yes, I missed.
Well, I said I'd gotten an email where they had said they expect to lose today in Ohio, so. I mean, if a candidate himself is putting out an email saying they're going to lose, I'd say that's a pretty good sign that they know they're going to lose. So I don't know if that was a smart move. You know, you want to encourage your people to get out. Of course, they could have done that for the purposes of encouraging people to vote. I think the email I got was encouraging to give them money. That's mainly the emails I've been getting for the past 6 months is give me money, and both sides. So, but we'll see. He could be an upset. I just don't see it on the ground. I don't see the ground game that,
you don't, for
no,
Ohio?
From Bernie's side. I haven't gotten any calls from Bernie. I don't know if anybody else has, or Hillary.
No, I get stuff from Hillary. I've donated to her campaign a couple times, so, I mean, obviously I get a lot of stuff from her, you know, but it's always just, you know, give me more money.
Right.
You know, and so which I understand, and which they completely need to run. It's an expensive game. You know, I've ran, you know, at the city and at the county level. I can't even imagine the money it takes to run at, you know, at state, you know, statewide, let alone, you know, I mean, let alone nationwide.
Well, we remember 2012. It got into the billions when President Obama's second election took place. So we know it can get very, very expensive, way beyond my mathematics, you know, my paycheck.
Right.
But Mr. Coulter, why do you think that there has been such a disconnect, or maybe they want us to think that they will, the Republican establishment, or will not support Donald Trump if he does end up being the front runner or their nominee?
I mean, why then, in essence, they would go and support Hillary Clinton?
No, not support Hillary, but I hear people saying that they will not stand behind him if he's going to be their nominee. Why wouldn't they do that?
Well, I think why is one of the thrusts of, we're looking at Bernie's campaign, or referring to Bernie Sanders or Ted Cruz's campaign, is as Ted Cruz talks about the Washington cartel in terms of the corruption in Washington, D.C., and so does Bernie Sanders say in terms of money influence in that fact. And so if you're a player in Washington, D.C. who wants favors, so to speak, you have to have someone who will play with you. And so if they don't see Trump as that person, they're definitely going to be concerned, because a lot of them thrive with that. They use the national treasury as their own personal piggy bank, so to speak. And so I think that's the disconnect from the establishment of with Trump, and he's such an unknown and unpredictable in all due respect.
And I wonder, why did they allow him to go so far?
Well, that's the amazing thing. You know, the principal pack and some of these that just come out recently sending flyers to everybody's household or putting commercials have waited so long. And I think that's everybody's opinion. They've waited too long. They really didn't believe that he could have such an effect. And I think that everybody underestimated, at least on the Republican side, the amount of discontent there was.
Right.
I think there was still this presumption that there'll be a few radical Republicans out there, the Tea Partiers or those like that in that sense. And I'm not calling them radicals, but who are more vocal in all due respect. But there's just a small minority. But they're finding that there's different types of discontent there, so to speak. You have the Tea Party groups and your ideological conservatives who have a thought-out plan of what they think should happen. Then you have a second group, which is Trump's tying into the populace, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They may not know exactly what they want to have and how those goals be reached, but they know they're very dissatisfied and they fall into his plane. And you have the third group, which is the establishment Republicans who benefit by their government involvement.
Right. His supporters, I think, have become very angry because of how they've been trying to just pull him down, you know, and this counterattack with Kasich for Ohio and Rubio down in Florida. And do you feel that Kasich will be able to pull Ohio?
Well, we were asked that question earlier by the earlier moderator, and I guess if I had to bet my house, yes. But there could be some surprises. For Cruz, again, nobody's going to put a lot on that horse, so to speak. But he's usually overperformed from the polls. Mm-hmm. You know, although his original strategy of sweeping the South didn't work out for him, but that's been the trend on the states. He's overperformed. So he may surprise people, at least on the level. And then Trump, that's with these recent attacks, they have to be wearing some on him in that regard.
That's true. And I was thinking if they're able to pull him down enough and Kasich wins Ohio, then he won't have enough delegates, will he?
They say mathematically impossible for Kasich to have enough.
Or Donald Trump. If Kasich wins Ohio, does that alter his delegates also?
I believe it does. I'm not the mathematician to the T on it, but I believe it'll make it more challenging for him.
And if they have to go to the convention and have this fight, what is that going to look like?
It's going to be ugly. I mean, people are going to, like we talked briefly before, people are going to feel disenfranchised in all due respect, and it's going to further split the Republican Party. If someone just comes in a third outsider, so to speak, not many running, I think that would be disastrous. It would be a major, you know, civil war, so to speak, of denying people's choices.
Wow. Now, remember, those of you who are listening, at any time you would like to call in and touch bases with our guests that we have here today, Steve Chafin, Ayers Ratliff, and also Ted Coulter, please call in at 740-383-9944. Let your voices be heard or your concerns, whatever you know you may be thinking or dealing with today, and maybe we can encourage you to go vote, even if you feel as though there's no one to vote for. So we will continue with our program. This is The Chat, and I am your host, Linda Sims. And I think that Scott Spears may be back or Terry Tackett. But let us continue on, okay?
You know, Harris? And I actually have to get going. I have
Do
to get
you?
Back to the schools to keep going there. But it's just, you know, I know that I have a biased opinion, but looking at the Republican establishment, I just think that this is something that's been brewing for a long time. And I think that we've, over the last several years, we've seen the Republican establishment lose its power, lose its credibility. And I know, you know, when that Barack Obama was elected the first time, you had people like Mitch McConnell coming out publicly stating that it's their agenda to make sure he doesn't get reelected again. Well, guess what happened? He got reelected again. Mm-hmm. And they've had 4 years to come up with their candidates.
Right.
And the Republican establishment didn't come up with Cruz or Trump. And those are the only two people that's really taken any delegates at all.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think that the Republican establishment has really, obviously lost touch with the people that they're supposed to be, representing, and the people are not supporting them anymore.
That's sad. You know, it's really sad because it also sets a state of confusion among people. Well, who can we vote for now? And so now people want to jump party lines. And
right.
They said before I left home that there were more people voting Republican for Donald Trump, but they don't know if they were voting for him or against him.
Right,
They say, right. But it is illegal to do that, but people do it, right?
Yes.
They jump party lines,
yeah,
right?
They do.
Nice having you.
Yes, I have to go, and thank you very much for having me on.
Nice having and nice meeting you, too.
You, too.
All right. Cheers. All right.
See ya.
You're awful busy over there, Steve. What's going on?
Oh, I'm just keeping an eye on what's going on around the state and just making sure there's no – I mean, here's the thing. We always want elections to be as smooth as possible.
Right.
So that people feel comfortable. And I've got some good news to tell the voters out there. We got good reports from one polling location. Scott was just saying how comfortable it was for him to vote at his polling location. There was coffee and donuts and people were real friendly. And we're trying to move towards that way so your voting experience is pleasant. And just reminding people they can vote early, 29 days before the election. They can vote by mail.
Right.
Now that we've got the electronic poll books and any table, hopefully the election experience will be super. We've got more young people participating this year, like you mentioned.
Right.
So things are going good. Let's just get people out to get involved. Support the candidate of your choice.
So from your perspective, how does it look for the Democratic Party as far as having our nominee being the president of the United States, even though that hasn't been officially established yet?
There seems to be a little less enthusiasm on our side, so let's get that going. Let's get more enthusiasm on our side. I think if Trump's their nominee, we won't have a problem with enthusiasm. So let's wait and see. But
and that leads to a very good question. What will happen in Cleveland if Trump's looking to be the nominee in that regard? I mean, no one wants violence. No one wants harm to be done to person or property in that regard. But that is a major concern, I think.
It
will rile the far left, definitely.
Wow. And how they're going to deal with it, or like you say, all those people who follow him, they're ready. They're die hard already, Trump supporters. And they will fight.
And I hate to give bad news to the Republican establishment. I think Ted already knows this. But if he is their nominee and if he does accidentally win, that's going to be bad for the country and bad for their party because he's already said he basically threatened the speaker that if he didn't do what he wanted, he was going to be in trouble or something along those lines. So,
Paul Ryan?
Yeah. I just think it'll be bad for the party. And I believe in the two-party system. I think it's worked pretty well for us over the years. So I hate to see the Republican Party be destroyed, but I think it'd be really bad for them and for the country. So get out and vote.
Yes, let your voices be heard. Do you think that Paul Ryan is strong enough?
You mean to deal with Trump?
Any president.
Anybody?
Any president.
That's a fair question in that regard. And everybody's wanting to know where his heart really is at after Boehner retired, after he was, in essence, maybe pushed out in some ways on the matter. He's tried. We hear him say these certain things that, this isn't the type of party when he responds to things that have happened regarding, Trump. I think he's trying to keep the principles of the Republican Party alive. But I think it will come back to his own personal fortitude, so to speak, because he will be tempted. He will be challenged in terms of the persuasive money factor in Washington, D.C. And so if he has the strength to battle that, I think he'll have the strength to battle any president. So that's where if he capitulates on the money, then he'll capitulate probably to a Democratic president.
I hope so. He doesn't seem to be boastful in his voice as far as establishing, okay, this is what I want and this is how it's going to be. But maybe we have yet to see that.
Well, Steve, it was interesting when he came in, he accepted the terms of his from the former Speaker Boehner, who basically made the deal with the president to get the budget through. And he accepted that. He didn't try to, and he's not threatened shutdown. I mean, so far, it seems to be working. They've already voted on a couple of compromises on things. So, and what's wrong with compromise? What's wrong with people working together? Why does that have to be such a bad name or a bad thing?
How did we come this far without compromise?
We couldn't. We can't. Our government is set up to be compromises. Ayers was just talking about a local government decision was made. It wasn't exactly a compromise, but there was a full vetting of the issue, and both sides were heard, and then a decision was made. Sure, you got to make decisions, but you don't shut down the government because you can't reach an agreement.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I'll disagree, just for devil's advocate standpoint.
All right.
I guess the question becomes, when do we draw a line in the sand? And that's where some said we haven't had to do so, that the debt and our deficit isn't so big that we have to worry about financial collapse. But is there finally going to be a line that has to be drawn that your people are going to have to, like Ted Cruz, stand up and say no more in that regard? Because we can't afford this. The harm of economic collapse is worse than the denial of certain benefits at this time or certain entitlements. And that's the question. Or we go to a Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist, you know, clearly in that regard. Do we finally say, okay, we're going to go from a free market country to a socialist country? Is that when you draw the line of saying, so I think, yes, compromise, yes. But I think where people get criticized saying, well, you're so obstructionist and you're so, you know, difficult to deal with, is that they're the ones worried about that we're getting so close to that place that we have to draw the line, and therefore you see the obstruction. Of course, that just spun out of control, that they are so wrong and so radical in that regard.
Yeah, where is that line at? Quadrillion, maybe?
If we haven't already passed it, it's just a matter of time.
Well, Obama claims he's paid off three quarters of it.
Well, the deficit, he has been making progress. If you look, he has been making progress towards keeping the balance, the budget balance. We're not balanced yet. And I pointed this out many times when Ted and I have been here. Historically, if you don't raise revenue, you can't get spending, you can't get the thing balanced. And as long as we keep spending money and not raise revenue, it's not going to get imbalanced. We're never going to pay the deficit off. So you've got to raise revenue, get spending down. If you remember during the Clinton eras, we had balanced budgets, we had surpluses, we were paying down the deficit. So it can happen. There's a blueprint out there for it. But under the current leadership on the other side, it's not going to happen. They won't raise revenue. They won't really cut spending. They say they're going to, but they really don't. They've got their special projects. Like
Exactly. And that's the problem. That's the problem with the special project. But that's one thing I want to distinguish. You know, it's sometimes very easy, you know, well, you know, Obama has reduced the deficit. We're talking about the deficit in terms of the budget, but not, there's still, the debt is growing and growing and growing and growing. And that's easy, you know, response, well, we're reducing the amount where we go in debt each year, but we're still going more and more in debt.
Isn't that institutional, though? Isn't that built into the system until we fundamentally change?
Right, and that's where the left and the right, we've talked about many times before, has to join together to rearrange our priorities.
And that means compromise. Dirty word, I know, but...
No?
You have to put it in there somewhere, right? And how are you today, Mayor Schertzer? He has come in and joined us. Are you going to be a part of our conversation, or are you for the next program?
I think I'm on for the next program, but it's good to sit in here and listen to the conversation taking place. I think it's very valuable to all the voters that are going out to the polls today.
That's right. Thanks. Thanks. Well, don't forget, go vote and let your voices be heard. Make sure you go to the right precinct, and as Steve Coulter has said, go to your old one and they will direct you to the one you should be going to if things have changed in your area. So here we go. We have a few more minutes for my show, the chat. So if there's your last word as far as telling our listeners a bit of advice,
well,
what would you give them today?
Go vote. Be informed. You know, on the Democratic side, there's plenty of information out about Bernie and Hillary online. If you don't have a computer, you know, call your friend up and talk to him about it. I really encourage people not to pay that much attention to TV ads. I don't think they're helpful. They're not substantive. I think you really need to, you know, go to the library or talk with friends or read up on people's positions on issues and really think through what your own values are, what your own positions are, what's best for our country. Don't just be a single issue. I see so many voters say, well, I'm going to vote this way because of guns, or I'm going to vote this way because of an abortion. Don't do that. That's tempting to do it, but really think through the whole picture of why you're going to vote and what you want to see for the future. Think about your children and grandchildren, how you want to see things, and then vote based upon that. So, but whatever you do, go vote. The polls are open until 7:30 this morning, and if you have any questions about where you need to vote, you can call the Board of Elections or just go to your, what do you think your polling location is, and they'll direct you there. So,
hello, Speaker. You are on the air. Do you have a question?
I actually have a comment. If people decide to nominate Trump, which I really think is going to be the end of the Republican Party, what they are going to do is there are 34 senators who are up for election. The Republicans won't stand much of a chance if Trump is in because of the people that hate him. And consequently, they will drag the senators with them. So I really fear that Trump is such a poor choice to be president or their nominee. What people aren't really taking into account when they say how everyone wants Trump, his 35% is probably all he will ever get. And they determine their delegate or their nominee on majority, not on a plurality. So consequently, I think the Republicans better really look into themselves before they would even think of voting for Trump. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Coulter, you heard that caller's comment. What do you think about that?
I agree with it. I mean, I think Trump has a ceiling. He's reached that particular ceiling. That's why the brave thing, or in terms of deal-making or compromising, whatever, you know, Rubio and Kasich has to get out, make it a one-on race with Cruz and Trump in that regard, and let the people decide from there, because otherwise the effects are going to be devastating.
Right, right. So if he pulls this out, the honorable thing to do is for the Republican Party to rally around him, you think? If he pulls this out, Ohio, today?
You mean if Trump pulls it out? Okay. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of consternation before that. I mean, unless he can have another evolution, as he claims he's had in the past, because his history certainly is more Democratic maybe than Republican in some ways, in all due respect on the thing.
He's been a New York liberal, as someone called him.
Yeah, you know, he started his run, I believe, second term for Obama, that election in 2012, he started walking toward.
Did you see that program the other night? They had it where he was at the correspondents' dinner in 2011, and the president took some shots at him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that was the day he decided to run.
I believe
because
it.
He was embarrassed by the, you know, the jokes.
The
it wasn't fun, but the president's pretty sharp, and he was giving it to him pretty good.
And there was a whole bunch of people there, just at elaborate
important
dinner, right?
Important people, you know,
yeah,
media people
that.
And politicians, and he was sitting there. He didn't look happy.
Yes.
Too bad, Donald. Can't take a roasting.
So, Ted Coulter, is there anything you would like to leave with our listeners before?
Yeah, and I think the listeners are intelligent and they're realizing this. But, you know, there used to be a point that people would go to vote and they trusted in their elected officials in order to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, unfortunately, we're past that. And based on the corruption that we see, particularly in Washington, D.C., I think people have to raise it to the next level. They have to take it to a level of involvement where they're more challenging those. And not only at the election time, but afterwards to build behind a cause, not a candidate who just wants to, you know, how should I say, advance his political career in that regard. So I think where we're at is that people in that fashion, we have to become more involved, just as if we were attacked as a country militarily. We can no longer just go to our job and be with our family, which are number one priorities.
That's true.
We have a red alert, so to speak, no matter whether you're on the left side of the political spectrum or the right side of the political spectrum.
Right.
And so there has to be more involvement past the voting.
Let's get involved, all of you who are listening, especially this election and all those that will be after that, even those in between elections. We need your votes. And a lot of things are our fault because we like to sit at home and feel that our vote does not count. So today is Super Tuesday, and we have had a great time with Steve Chafin. Scott Spears was here with us, also Ted Coulter and Ayers Ratliff. This is Linda Sims. You have been listening to the chat, and remember, the chat lives airs live on Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and don't forget a Voice of the People on Mondays 11 to 12. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twisted.
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But just let me talking and I keep going.
to the oldest working actor in Hollywood, 101-year-old Norman Lloyd.
Now, did you like that, Norman, when that edict came down? Did you like to be told to stop driving?
Well, I tell you, I liked the idea of driving, so I felt deprived that he was saying you can't drive anymore. But I enjoyed the authority with which he said to me, you cannot drive anymore. I thought, well, things have lined up pretty good now. I'm the kid and he's the old man. And, you know, it's continued on every level since. So I feel I'm in my second childhood. I've got a new father.
Norman,
he has no humor about it at all. He says this is the way it is. And, you know.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by typing in WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content. Hemmerly's Flowers and Gifts, address 615 East Center Street here in Marion. Telephone number 740-387-1163. Website hemmerlysflowers.com is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio.
This is George Kasotis, and you can catch Marianne Michaels, Scott Spears, and Charlie Evers every Friday from 12:10 until 1 p.m. for the Exchange Club, supported by Kroger's right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. They discuss topics of the day and take your calls at 740-383-9944. Join them.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Minute on 107.1 FM. WWGH, I'm Jared Moore.